On today's episode of The Grey Lodge, we get a supernatural experience by way of William Hastings and the Woodsman, more symbolism of sycamores, Hawk reveals the map of Twin Peaks and the meaning of black fire, black corn. I found the meaning of Laura being the turkey from Fire Walk With Me, more trembling hands, more 253, cherry pie saves the day, Gnostic CGs and the opposing perfected pairs, and some amazing references to season one. Today, we'll unpack Twin Peaks, The Return, Part 11. There's fire where you are going. Join me, your host, Isaac Weishaupt, in the Grey Lodge. The episode starts out. There's some kids playing baseball. Apropos, because Mark Frost loves baseball. I think he wrote a whole book about it. And they throw the ball into the woods, and they go over there, and there's Miriam. From last episode, Richard killed her, we thought, but she's alive. She's crawling around in the woods. Meanwhile, Becky's still bugging out. She storms into the double R and has... Because remember, last episode, Steven was abusing her and threw a coffee cup out the window. She storms into the double R and has Shelly, her mom, take her to Steven's trailer at the Fat Trout. And Steven isn't home, so she takes his gun and she... gets behind the wheel of Shelly's car and damn near kills her mom. It's like a 1985 Buick, pristine condition. I'm very, very impressed. And Shelly gets Carl Rod, of all people, to give her a ride back to the double R. And they call the police. We find out in this scene that Shelly's last name is still Briggs. All right, so Becky is her and Bobby Briggs' daughter. So they're either still married and separated, or she just kept his name. Not sure. Anyhow, Becky's strapped, and she's looking for Steven. And she goes to this apartment where she thinks Steven is at. He doesn't answer the door. She starts blasting shots through the door. And we see that Steven and some woman are standing in the stairwell, kind of like hiding from Shelly. Go back over to Buckhorn. William Hastings leads the FBI crew to a rundown shack. Shithole, where he claims he saw Major Briggs. I assume they're talking about the place where Major Briggs' head disappeared. Because remember, Hastings said he saw a whole bunch of people there. All right. So Gordon and Albert, they go into this fenced area, and you see this soot covered woodsman guy sort of manifesting and disappearing into thin air. And something happens. Gordon Cole is standing there, and he sees a dark spiral opening up in the sky. He sees a portal opening up. And we hear a lot of electricity crackling. We get lots of ominous whooshing. And what's strange is nobody else seems to notice this except for Gordon Cole. He's the only one that is experiencing this. And from the center of the spiral, it opens up, and Cole sees woodsmen coming down some stairs. And Cole starts disappearing. But Albert grabs him, and the portal shuts down. Whatever. My guess is that this is a portal between this world and the Black Lodge, perhaps opened up by the Trinity atomic bomb testing when we talked about Kenneth Grant and his theories and Outside the Circles of Time. And what we saw there was above the convenience store gas, above the gas station, I think. Maybe? I don't know. There were stairs going up, is all we could really tell. So Albert is looking around the area, and he spots a torso in the weeds. It's a female, presumably Ruth Davenport, and she's got coordinates written on her arm. So, I mean, the good news here is that William Hastings' crazy story is checking out, you know. So that's great. Like, things are really looking up for William. This point. And Diane, she's on the scene too, and she sees the woodsmen too, and they manifest and they disappear. In fact, one of them walks right up to the police cruiser where William Hastings is still in cuffs sitting in the back. And we hear some crunching, and the next thing you know, you look over and Hastings' dome piece got split open by apparently that woodsman. Gordon Cole rightfully pronounces him dead at the scene. But the cop who is in the front seat, he's freaking out, justifiably so. And he calls for backup. And we hear the address that he's at is 2240 Sycamore. That's right. More Sycamores. Because in Las Vegas, we saw that Dougie was getting two rides from Jade on Sycamore. All reference to the Black Lodge opening at Glastonbury Grove with the Sycamore trees. Now, the coordinates on... so my notes are probably off. I thought maybe these were the coordinates where all the action was supposed to happen, but that's not true because I think the coordinates are on Ruth Davenport's torso's arm. I'm gonna make a note. That is not correct, Isaac. What are you talking about? But it was could have been where Briggs's head disappeared. Okay, yeah, that would make sense. So this is where Briggs's head disappeared, and Briggs gave Ruth and William the coordinates that are the coordinates that Mr. C is looking for. All right. So Bobby and Shelley, they're twin. We're in back in Twin Peaks. They're at the double R with Becky, trying to make sense of everything. She takes right after Shelley. She takes right after her mother with this abusive relationship. And I thought maybe Shelley had reformed. I thought maybe she was past all that in her life, but her actual man shows up while they're giving a little, trying to connect with Becky or whatever. And this dude comes up and knocks on the window. It's that drug dealer who was selling drugs through Richard, if you recall. So, Shelley, always with the bad boys. So she has this whole moment of connection with Becky. They're crying, they're hugging. And then this drug dealer boyfriend shows up and she immediately bails on Becky and runs outside and is smooching down on him. And Becky just looks at Bobby and they're just like, I don't know. And like, no wonder Becky's a mess. No wonder. So then we get one of the most bizarre scenes in Twin Peaks at this moment. A gunshot rings out. Someone's shooting into the double R. How dare they? The balls. And we see a woman outside in a minivan named Carrie. And she's yelling at her husband, Russ, who had put a gun in the car. And their young child, Ralph, apparently grabbed it and fired it. So Bobby Briggs, who's a deputy, he's on the scene. He gets the gun unloaded. And, someone in the background, they're impatient. They're honking. The whole scene, honking like hell. And Bobby stares at the boy, Ralph. And you'll notice, if you watch the scene, it's almost like time dilation slows down. Something very odd happens here. And the dad is, again, with the weird slow motion thing, dad's very, shook and shutting down. Here comes Officer Jesse up to assist. And then Bobby talks to the woman who's honking the car to tell her to shut up. And she's freaking out. And she says something about how the woman's uncle is joining them for dinner. And I think it sounds like she's referring to Carrie's uncle is joining them for dinner. Or this woman's own uncle. It's hard to tell. Then out of nowhere, a boy in the passenger seat sits up and there's green puke coming from his mouth while he's kind of like seizing out. And Bobby is just staring in horror and the scene ends. What's the meaning? I couldn't tell you. What I do know is the things that come to mind, the clues that come to mind is at the very beginning of season one, when we heard Laura in the Red Room talked about how she had a cousin. Maybe there's something there. Another idea is season three, part two, I think it was, or part one, where Mr. C pukes up the black corn. Maybe it's something like that. I don't know. It's one of those mysteries. So then we go back over to the sheriff's department. Truman and Hawk are looking up the location on that map that they retrieved from Garland Briggs' chair for Jackrabbit's Palace. And Hawk unrolls a massive old map, like a canvas map. And it looks almost identical to the chalkboard in season two, the Owl Cave map. And they start talking about Major Briggs' station on the Blue Pine Mountain. And we hear that this is a revered sacred site. Take a listen.
By my reckoning, this is where we're headed. that there's no road. The road's gone.
The information that Major Briggs gave got me thinking. You'll understand a lot more when I explain my map. This map is very old, but it is always current. It's a living thing. This is where Major Briggs Station was. This is Blue Pine Mountain and a very revered sacred site. I think that the information that the Major gave us is going to take us here.
Looks like a campfire. What is this?
It's not a campfire. It's a fire symbol.
What's that mean?
It's a type of fire, more like modern-day electricity.
Good?
Depends. Depends upon the intention behind the fire. The Major also gave us a date, a day after tomorrow. If you read these stars, you find that same date. And it refers you to here.
What is this?
It's corn, it's fertility, but it's black, diseased or unnatural. Death. If you put these two symbols together, you get this.
Black fire.
Correct.
We saw this on that little slip of paper we took out of Major Briggs's tube. What is this?
Frank, you don't ever want to know about that.
Really?
Really.
Now, this is where things start to get a little crazy, all right? We start piecing together some major clues in the world of Twin Peaks. He said, we hear about the meaning of fire and how it's a form of modern-day electricity. We hear about black corn and fertility, which we heard about from Briggs in Season 2, if you recall. We talked about this. He talked about that in the Sheriff's Department. And Hawk says that the intention behind the fire matters, right? Meaning, is it going to be good or evil? Is it going to be the Black Lodge or the White Lodge? It's all about intention. And the date given for them going to Jackrabbit's Palace on October 1st and 2nd are the dates related to the stars on the map. And he says it has something to do with black corn. The black corn on the map means diseased or death. Very Black Lodge, right? And if you put the fire and the corn together, you get black fire. All right, so let's unpack that a little bit. The corn is symbolic of fertility. When it's black corn, it's black fertility, meaning disease or death. Not good, right? And it's about giving birth to the darkness, the Black Lodge. And recall that we know that the corn is Garmin Bogia, which is the sustenance that the Black Lodge entities feed off of. That's why they're stoking fear and, channeling all this negative stuff. And if you look closely on the map, I'll put the image on the Instagram, at Isaac Weishaupt, like and subscribe. Also, if you look closely on the map, you'll see that there are four black corn stalks, and one of them is only half black. It's kind of like half green still, all right? So it's in a state of decay, not there yet. But what's interesting is that next to the corn stalks, it looks like there's a turkey. And if you recall Fire Walk With Me, the film, Laura Palmer, at the very beginning, when she's talking to James, said she was the turkey in the corn. Right? Because remember James was talking about how dumb turkeys are, and she said, I'm the turkey in the corn, gobble, gobble. Maybe something about the turkey stops the corn from turning black. Right? Last episode, we know Laura is the one. Laura is the turkey. Now, they talk about that weird black dog symbol that Mr. C is looking for, in the, because it's on the map, on the skies. But Hawk says, you don't ever want to know about that to Truman. So he never tells him. We don't hear it. Now, this reminds me of Firewalk with Me, Philip Jeffries. Remember, he kept saying, we're not going to talk about Judy. Remember that? Is the black dog symbol Judy? Then right on cue, Margaret Lanterman calls Hawk because she knows that Hawk found something with her premonition. Take a listen.
I don't know why I'm even thinking about furniture. Andy and I hardly ever get home.
What's up, Lucy?
Margaret Lanterman for you on line 2, Hawk. That's the one that's blinking when I hang up.
Hello, Margaret.
Hawk?
Can you hear me?
Yes, Margaret.
Hawk, can you hear me?
Yes, Margaret.
You found something, didn't you?
It's just like you said. I'm sorry. I should have let you know.
What did you find, Hawk?
Margaret, I can't tell you that.
My log is afraid of fire. There's fire where you are going.
Hawk, there's fire where you are going.
Okay, Margaret.
Good night, Hawk.
Good night. And thank you, Margaret.
Remember the very first episode of Twin Peaks The Return, the log lady said Hawk was going to find something. And I'm assuming that they're talking about Briggs' letter, which made him open this map, something like that. And she warns him that there's fire where he is going, and we see the black corn fire that Hawk was just talking about, the black fire. And she knows they got this map to Jackrabbit's palace, so perhaps when they head into the woods to Jackrabbit's palace, they're going to confront this black fire. And then here comes Officer Jesse trying to get Truman to check out his new car. You know, we love Officer Jesse. He's just real chill about everything. You know, he's not getting bogged down in the weeds with all this Black Lodge entity stuff. Then we go over to the Buckhorn Police Department. Gordon Cole and Albert and Diane are there, and Gordon Cole's hand is trembling. And he says, cat on a hot tin roof. Right? Remember, recall, we talked about the origins of this whole story about how David Lynch talked about the vision for the Red Room came to him when he put his hands on a hot car roof. And recall the end of season 2, everyone's hands were trembling as we got closer to the opening of the gateway to the lodge at Glastonbury. So we get a little taste of that. Then Cole is looking at the photo of Ruth's torso with the arm with the coordinates she wrote on it, and they look over and they notice Diane trying to memorize it, right? And this whole thing was a setup because they're suspicious of Diane because she was acting mad shady, right? Remember, she was texting Mr. C. So they notice she's trying to get the coordinates. And Cole asks what place those coordinates represent. And Albert says it's a place in the north, but then he gets cut off because here come the coffee and donuts. Where are those coordinates going? Why were they so important? Why does Mr. C want them? Where is it located? We don't know yet. Detective Mackley tells them that they weren't able to find Garland Briggs's head. It's probably floating in space. That's why we always see his head floating in space. They confirmed the torso was Ruth Davenport. Cole recalls his vision of those woodsmen, basically, in that room. Albert says, yeah, I saw one of those. Diane, she says she saw one getting out of the police car. And they look at her, they're like, why didn't you say something when Homeboy's dome was getting smushed in? And she retracts it. She's like, oh, I don't know. Very weird scene, right? Then we go back to Las Vegas. We're at Lucky 7 Insurance battling Bud, calls Dougie into the office because Bud believes Dougie is exposing organized crime going on in the office, right? That's why Bud liked what Dougie had wrote all those squiggly lines in the papers. So Bud now thinks the Mitchum brothers were innocent in that arson insurance case and that Anthony Sinclair was being shady. And the Mitchums apparently called for a meeting with Doug because they secretly want to kill him. But Bud is like, hey, I think that you should hand them this check for $30 million for their insurance problem since they're innocent, basically. Which the Mitchum brothers don't know this yet. Right now, they think they're going to meet up with this guy, Dougie, and kill him. And in fact, the next scene, they go over to the Mitchum place, and Bradley's talking about how he can't wait to kill Douglas Jones. And he's like, I had a dream about him last night. And you know, when dreams happen, it's not just a dream. Well, Rodney looks over at the clock and asks him, can you wait 3 more hours to kill him? And if you look at the clock, it says 2:23. Well, add 3 hours to that, you get 5:23. Recall, we talked about how important the numbers 253 are in this show. Season 3, Part 2, the arm was saying 253 time and time again because 253 was a triggering time for events, like the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn opening the gateway to the Red Room. We talked about Kenneth Grant's claims about a perfected age, the Aeon of 10, which is 253, and Jack Rabbit's palace is 253 yards distance from the map that Briggs left behind, right? And you're probably thinking, well, Isaac, 253 is not the same as 523. True. However, in terms of gematria, it is the same. Because 253, 2 plus 5 is 7. 7 plus 3 equals 10. The number of perfection is 10. 5 plus 2 is 7. 7 plus 3 is 10. Number of perfection is 10. All right. So Dougie's got this $30 million check, and he's going to get a limo ride out to the desert to meet up with the Mitchum brothers. And one-armed Mike is in the coffee shop called Simon's, and he's waving for Dougie. He's like, come in the coffee shop, bro. And Dougie's like, yeah, I'm going to get more coffee. And you'll notice in the logo for the coffee shop, Simon's, there's a cherry pie in the logo. Remember the pilot episode where cherry pies go to die is what Dale Cooper said. So I think yet again, another indication of a memory trigger using symbolism. This was always Cooper's path. This goes back to the pilot onward, the cherry pie thing. All right. Note the emphasis in the coffee shop named Zymons, spelled S-Z-Y-M-O-N-S, M-O-N-S. There's a Z in there, which is really strange, right? Well, in Gnosticism, there's a thing called CGs, spelled very similar, S-Z-Y-G-Y-S, instead of S-Z-Y-M-O-Ns. And in Gnosticism, they believe that the Yaldabaoth, the god, the real god, made perfected pairs of opposite polarities called the CGs. And one of these became unbalanced, and then created the demiurge and the false world that we live in. And you could argue that this whole Twin Peaks season 3 is a Gnostic thing. You could argue that. So Bud sends Dougie out to meet the Mitchums. They want to kill him. Bud thinks he's going to help them out. Hand him this check. Bud gives Dougie a large cardboard box and the check, and he says, knock him dead. And Dougie holds his face. He says, dead? Which is kind of symbolic, right? Because he might be on his way to death. So the driver, he takes Dougie out to the middle of the desert to meet the Mitchums. There's an element in this scene where I wonder if Bud and the driver knew this was a setup to kill Dougie in a way. Because it's like every trope of every Las Vegas mobster movie of you send him out to the desert. But note the symbolism of what's going on here. Dougie's holding a large box that's a cube. This is symbolic of Saturn, which is a principle of death restrictions. He holds his face and says, dead. Earlier, I think it was last episode, Janie E. said that Dougie had disappeared for 3 days and then came back, died and resurrected, right? And Dougie heads to the desert, and the desert is a place of learning and initiation, right? Because the desert induces dreamlike states and altered consciousness. It feels surreal. It's like a different world, and it makes you view the world from a different perspective in a way. And while they're driving, they're playing Viva Las Vegas. And there's a line in there about the devil. It says, there's 1,000 pretty women waiting out there, and they're all living, devil may care, and I'm just the devil with love to spare. And then Cooper, of course, was part of the Blue Rose Task Force, which I tied many episodes ago into the idea of a Luciferian awakening of man. So lots of symbolic meaning to this scene. So Bradley Mitchum, he keeps going on. He's in the limo, and he keeps going on and on about this dream he had about killing Dougie. And he said, and it was weird because the cut on your eye that Candy gave you when she was trying to kill that fly, it was healed. And he had a bandage on it, right? And he's like, Bradley feels like there's something important about this dream. So he says, take that bandage off. And Ronnie's like, what? He's like, take the bandage off. And he takes it off, and it's healed. So Bradley says, hey, there's something going on with this dream. And of course, you know, this whole Twin Peaks thing is about dreams manifesting into reality. So Dougie shows up, and he's standing there in front of the Mitchums with his cube box. And Bradley, he goes to Rodney. I mean, they're getting ready to kill the guy. And he says, man, in the dream, Dougie had that box also. And he tells Rodney, he says, hey, if there's one certain thing in this box, we can't kill him. And Rodney's like, get the hell out of here. And he says, no, if there's this one certain thing in the box, that means we can't kill Dougie. He's not our enemy. And you'll notice they have this conversation in front of a black and white limo, two different colored, you know, these are the opposing pairs. This is the black and the white lodge. Right now, the Mitchum brothers are choosing their path of black or white lodge. Okay. These are the opposing pairs of CGs, good and evil. So Bradley, and also I think in this episode, you see the Double R Diner, the floor is black and white checkered floor as well. I forgot to mention that. So Bradley goes to open the box, and what's the one thing? It's a cherry pie. Of course it's a cherry pie. It's the cherry pie path Dougie's been on since the one-armed man pulled him into the Gnostic coffee shop there. So Bradley pats him down, finds the $30 million check, and they all rejoice, and they're like, oh my God. So now they're best friends with Dougie. They're happy they didn't kill him. They chose the White Lodge path, right? So they take Dougie out to dinner, and this is one of my favorite scenes, because they're just chilling, eating dinner, whatever, and there's a piano player playing, and he abruptly shifts songs, and Dougie really notices. Take a listen.
Jackpot! Oh, this is the man I told you about. I wanted to see you again. I've thought of you every day. What you did for me. You changed my life. This is my dear son, Denver. He's back in my life again. I have a little dog. I have a house. I have my life back again. How can I ever thank you? I hope you realize what a special person you have dining with you. He saved my life.
Sure saved us so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Jones. I'm so thankful I got it. Chance to say thank you again.
Thank you again.
Here it is.
Finally. And here are the girls. Candy. Candy. Candy, look at me.
Where have you been?
Starts playing the tune from Angelo Baldamenti from season one, from the original Twin Peaks. And what's funny is the first time I watched season three, I didn't even catch that. I had completely oblivious. And Dougie, he clues right in on it. Clearly another memory trigger response. So the if you recall from Twin Peaks season three, part three, the homeless woman that was in the casino who was like, Mr. Jackpots. Like, show me where to win, and Dougie would show her how to hit the jackpot. Well, that homeless woman, she's dressed up all nice. She comes in, and she says, oh, my God, Mr. Jackpots, you saved my life. He turned her whole life around. She's with her son named Denver, and she leans in and kisses Dougie on the cheek, which was just like we saw Laura in the lodge when she kisses Cooper on the cheek. They all eat this cherry pie, and Rodney says, that pie is so good. And Dougie responds, almost reflexively, damn good. Cooper's coming back. Cooper's coming back. Lynch and Frost, they're edging us very hard right now. It's all we want. We've wanted it for the last 11 hours. When is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? Because I believe up to this point, Dougie's only eating chocolate cake. But the chocolate cake don't hit like the cherry pie. And you can see he reacts differently. And the episode ends as the piano player goes back to the... He plays the Angelo Baldamenti song. So that's it for part 11. I need you... Well, first of all, thank you for listening to me. If you made it this far into the Grey Lodge, you're a real one, and I appreciate you. So thank you so much for your support. Come back. We'll talk about Twin Peaks: The Return, Part 12. Let's rock. I need XG on the ones and twos. It's time to rock. Let's rock. So thank you for your support. Stay positive.